Welcome back to the Charlie Intel podcast. My name is Mike Kent, one of the co-founders of DeSerto, and with me is Keshav Bhatt, the man behind the Charlie Intel account that we all know and love. Keshav, we've got another interesting week coming up. We're going to be talking about the December 8 update that's come out for Cold War, the impending season one with all the trimmings. We're also going to be doing an interview with Bobby Poff, who is a well-known content creator and streamer in the Call of Duty world.
Yeah, a week before Blackout came out, I just got into an argument and honestly, I just left and I just never came back.
We're going to talk a little bit about esports news, including some more cheating concerns.
If there's hackers, like, I mean, any kind of competitive playlist is chalked.
And then finally, we're going to have a new section of the show, which is going to be called The Gulag, where me and Keshav debate, not to the death, but close, on a certain subject. So this week it's going to be on Call of Duty maps and whether they should be reused. So Keshav, first thing starting off, heading into season one. However, Call of Duty continues to get bigger and bigger and the Charlie Intel account is almost reaching a huge milestone. So almost at 2 million followers. You've obviously been part of this account since the very start before DeSerto acquired it a couple of years ago. You know, did you ever expect to see it to get to this stage?
No. You know, when we started off, you know, 1 million was a dream goal. You know, to almost double that followers in just a single year this year has been absolutely insane. And, you know, we're so close to 2 million followers and next year is going to be even bigger. So it's very exciting so far.
Yeah. So we're in a little bit of an in-betweeny stage, as I like to call it, with Call of Duty at the moment, because we're all waiting for season one. Now, there is an update coming out on the 16th. However, there was also an update dropped on the 8th, December 8th, that is. That kind of brought around some much-needed fixes. So I don't know if you want to give us a high level on those.
Yeah, so Treyarch released the first update to get us ready for Season 1. This is an update that they're calling the game preparation for Season 1. They're making, you know, the integration get started and all that together. You know, if you load up Black Ops Cold War now after the update, you'll see it has that new menu with Black Ops Cold War, Warzone, Modern Warfare options on there. But beyond that, you know, there's some interesting fixes that got called out by a lot of people, right? We have in multiplayer, they address some of the crashing issues on next-gen consoles. You know, a lot of people complaining about their game crashing on Xbox and PlayStation 5. They appear to have addressed a lot of those. I'm seeing less complaints now there, which is great. In terms of just some of the custom game news, I think which has really sparked some attention is the score streaks, right? With CDL, you know, a lot of people were worried about how score streaks would work with CDL rules, and now Treyarch has added an option to make score streaks reset on death in custom games if you wanted to have it. We posted that on Twitter and people were like, why not just make this the default in regular MP2? But Treyarch hasn't responded to those complaints yet. But now for CDL and those interested to see how the game plays in custom games, you have an option for score streaks to now reset on death, like a classic Call of Duty experience that you've known from Treyarch, which, you know, Black Ops Cold War changed that with the score streaks, but now there's an option to go back to the old style, I'll bet, just in custom games. They also made some cool fixes to Hardpoint. They moved around some of the spawns on some of the maps. So in Crossroads, they have moved some of the zones around to make it a lot more easier to access and just the flow of the zones better, which is good to see. And then, yeah, just overall, I mean, just a really nice update, I'd say, for a lot of people. A lot of players were struggling to level up their diamond camos and dark matter camo. They fixed that for a bunch of players, but some players are still experiencing that issue. They've confirmed they're still looking into that. But, you know, progress is being made slowly as we get to December 16th as season one kicks off.
We had some professional players speak out and they were praising Treyarch and especially Tony Flame. So Parasite, he said, firm handshakes. Every update is a step forward. And we had Octane, who plays for Seattle Surge. He came out and said, Treyarch is truly an unmatched developer. The fact they're not in control of the Call of Duty franchise is a tragedy. And finally, Merc, commentator for the CDL, former pro, he said, adjusted control and hardpoint spawns, things you love to see. So all in all, positive anyway from the competitive community. I think for the casual community, they're probably not going to have noticed a huge amount of change that is going to come on in season one.
They said, you know, people wanted weapon updates, but there are no weapon updates yet. I'm expecting those in season one. So casual players have a lot to look forward to with the December 16th update.
Talking of the December 16th update, we saw the first trailer for season one. So Keshav, what did you take from the trailer? Obviously quite a lot to unpack.
Yeah, there's a really interesting trailer, right? It was an ARG quest that we had on Monday with a bunch of us creators. They sent us a radio and a couple of other things and we solved a website that they gave us to and we unlocked this trailer. They're calling it the season one intro cinematic trailer. you know, one thing we've seen over the last year with Warzone is the story building perspective that they've got. You know, every season has a story and how it continues. And this trailer is setting the stage for the Black Ops Cold War story, where it's going next in terms of multiplayer. So it was a really cool, you know, 2 minute long trailer, giving people an intro. We found out that the new operator's name is Stitch. He's missing his left eye. His left eye is kind of, you know, gone. Apparently from a chemical reaction that he was involved with. And he's seeking vengeance on Russell Adler, who was a character in the campaign. So it's just setting up the story, a battle between Stitch and Adler as they get, you know, to the new maps and the new Warzone map, which we saw, Rebirth Island, finally confirmed in that trailer. They showed the image, calling it Operation Rebirth. Looks almost like Alcatraz from Black Ops 4. So people who wanted a smaller Warzone map, they have that now with Season 1.
Yeah, we're going to see, like, you know, reduced player count on there as well. Is the Rebirth Island, which engine is it going to use?
That's the question that's still up in there. They have not announced it yet. I guess, you know, they might not announce it at all. We might just drop into the map and find out the mechanics.
Straight away.
You know, yeah, instantly. As soon as you drop in, you'll know what it is. So it'll be interesting to see whether they picked Warzone engine or Black Ops Cold War engine. That's still up in the air. You know, the Activision artists did say a while back that it's going to stay the same engine, but they haven't confirmed that for Rebirth Island yet.
So in order to explain some of the changes to the map, Drifter, a friend of the show, this is just a section of the video which shows a good explanation of the map that we'll see in Season 1 of Cold War.
Judging from the old leaks and comparing to the image, I believe that the new Warzone map is going to be very similar to Alcatraz from Blackout. Looking at them side by side, you can very clearly see that both of these maps have the same structure. You can see the powerhouse in the northwest, you can see the elevated left side, you can see that the north side has a slightly lower elevation, the big prison or large structure in the middle, and you can even see the power plants, ruins, parade grounds, all that stuff on the right. This is an extremely similar layout to Alcatraz. So that's mostly what I'm expecting when I see this. I just kind of think Alcatraz in my head. There's just tons of similarities between these two. And there's a lot of inferences we can draw there. First of all, it means that it will likely only be a fraction of the size of Verdansk. Just looking at it, there's no way that can really compete with the size of the map that we already have. It'll probably be a lot more urban and dense than Verdansk, though, just kind of like how Blackout handled the Alcatraz map. And I think the best size comparison would be to say that the new map is the size of probably just the downtown area in Verdansk, but with smaller buildings. Maybe it still has weapon wall buys, kind of like zombies, we don't really know. The Blackout version of this map only had 40 players on it, and in Fireteam Dirty Bomb, we also only have 40 players. So I'd be surprised if the new map has significantly more than that. I would guess somewhere between 40 to 48 players are going to be on this map at any given time. The leaks also said that Rebirth Island would have a different gulag mechanic, which Alcatraz did. If you remember when we played Alcatraz in Blackout, you had 3 lives, and every time you would die, you would be reborn and come back in through like the Aether portals and kind of parachute back in. I would have a feeling that something like that would be going on this map. I would expect multiple lives given the smaller player count. I would expect air respawns, and it could end up being a lot like Dirty Bomb, but with limited lives. A lot of the same mechanics, same weapons, same feel, same parachuting and everything. That's really what I would expect.
So a number of really interesting points that Drifter brought up there. Obviously, he's shown the side-by-side comparison to Alcatraz. It does look very similar. I think it's safe to say it's probably based off that. One of the most interesting parts of that, he talked about the amount of people on the map. So it's looking like it's going to be around 40 people. That's what it was in the past. And as he said, the size of the map is roughly about the size of downtown. So if you consider that, I think it kind of makes sense to have a reduced amount. I don't know. I think that's fine if it's a smaller map. And I actually think for some people that just want to play a shorter game and don't want to get into a 150-player game of Warzone and spend potentially 45 minutes of your life to die to a juggernaut at the end, then it makes total sense to kind of have a smaller map and smaller option, just like when Mini Royale was an option.
Yeah, I mean, the comparison that Drifter shows it's almost identical to Alcatraz, right? And I think when we played in Blackout, you know, the Alcatraz map, the 40 players felt, you know, good for that map. It didn't feel too cluttered. At the same time, it didn't feel like you were searching forever. I guess the most interesting thing is going to be how the gas works, right? Like how fast will it be? Will it be the same pacing as Blackout, or will it be, you know, Warzone pacing? I think those things are still up in the air. So I think the circle closing is important. And also just, you know, how the map is, right? It's identical to Alcatraz. That's great. But have they added new areas? Is there more underground things to go to? I think a lot of unanswered question for us as we get ready to play in season one. And, you know, hopefully they keep some things up in the air for us to explore on launch day versus telling us everything. But yeah, that, you know, Drifters comparison, I think is the best we've got so far. 40 players drop in and just, you know, instead of playing for an hour long Warzone match, you get to play like 20 minutes in and out.
Yeah. And he also mentioned about the way that, you know, in Warzone now, if you die in normal mode, you go to the gulag, you win your 1v1, you come back. It sounds like, based on the name, they called it Rebirth Island, and that the fact that in Blackout it was called Rebirth, which is Drifter Notes as well, it kind of seems like that's going to be the same mechanic. So rather than going into the gulag, there's going to be some other sort of way to get back in, potentially just having a number of lives.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that Activision did mention in a blog post was that the Warzone is getting a new gulag experience, but they didn't comment whether that's the Rebirth Island or on Verdansk. So if there is a new gulag experience on both maps, that would be pretty interesting. Although I think, you know, with a shorter player count and shorter time for each match, gulag might have to close a lot earlier if they do bring it back, because, you know, at some point you'll be stuck in the gulag and the game will end. So I guess, you know, they would time the gulag a lot more efficiently if they're going to bring that back. Otherwise, just respawning in, I think, might be the easier way for them to go.
Yeah, good. Just great analysis overall by Drifter. So really appreciate him doing those videos. You can check him out at youtube.com/Drifter. And that's the O with a zero. Pro Syndicate, well known for playing zombies over the years. He has an interesting theory about this new Rebirth map. And he actually thinks that it's looking like it could be a future zombies map.
So the key takeaways are that we may be looking at this Rebirth Island as this like war zone map and all this sort of stuff. But if it's not going to be, you know, a standalone zombies map, because they said there isn't going to be one first, is it going to be this map in Warzone for us to explore and find zombie Easter eggs? And is this going to be a way for them to set up a new zombie, like straight up zombie Easter egg within this Rebirth Island, because it's where they developed like Nova 6 and all this sort of stuff, which gave us the Plague Hounds and the Nova Crawlers. Like, it almost seems like if I was to watch this trailer and not know that we weren't going to have a zombies map in season one, but like in the next season, I'd be looking at this going, I tell you something, this is going to be the next zombie map.
Yeah, so Syndicate has a very interesting theory there about, you know, Rebirth Island being the next zombies map. You know, right now they haven't announced anything for zombies fans. They did say that there'll be a new zombies game mode in season one, but no new map yet. So, you know, we're going to have to just wait and see and speculate till they announce more details on zombies. So zombies fans, you're going to have to stick tight and stay tuned for updates on what's to come.
So we found out that season one was going to be delayed. It was only going to get delayed a week, though. So one person who was pretty disappointed by the delay was Nick Merckx, and he went on this quite funny little rant.
It wasn't confirmed yet, so it was like a rumor that we were hearing. But this just got floated out. Breaking Black Ops Cold War and Warzone integration has been... Okay. So I'll put L, because it is fucking L, man. I'm sorry. It's a fucking L. What are these guys doing, man? There's no sympathy, no nothing over here on my side. I'm just disappointed, man. These guys are putting so much energy into Cold War. Cold War is, like, whack. It's been the same terrain on the map for a year. For a year. Same terrain. All they changed was they put a train in the map, okay? They put a subway in the map that nobody uses, by the way. Both of them are cap. And then they open the doors on stadium. That's it. No additions, just slight changes. Bro, they can make that BR popping, bro. I love Warzone, man. I really do. I think it's a great foundation. It's a great game, but they are selling. They're selling hardcore, man. Here we go. Okay. I'm getting happy again. A new Warzone map and mode arrives December 16th. Rebirth Island is confirmed based on the background text on this image. Rebirth, right here. I don't think it's a new, I think it's a new, like a small little version of it. You know what I mean?
So of course, next week, we're going to be discussing in depth the update on the 16th for season one of Cold War and Warzone. And we're going to be breaking it down. We obviously release these every Friday, but next week the update comes out on the Wednesday. We'll be recording on that Thursday morning, And then Friday we'll have the full information to you if you're not able to get on and check it out yourself, or even just to give kind of like the community reaction. So it's pretty exciting. It's probably like the biggest update of the entire year. Apart from when Warzone was actually released, this is like the biggest. So I'm really excited to see it. You know, we've talked already about the concerns that Nick Merckx has about the map. I've said it myself. What's the point in the subway and the train? Nobody really uses them. It's just to kill noobs who sit on it, especially the train. But yeah, it's coming around the corner. And, you know, there's going to be so much new news, I think. I mean, are you expecting a kind of wave, Keshav?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of, you know, news and updates and information coming out as we get over to the launch date and, you know, after that. But, you know, big update next week. I'm really excited. I know people who play Warzone every single day are extremely excited for something new to play. And it's a big way to finish off the year, you know, a couple of weeks left in the year. Big way for Treyarch, Activision, the whole team there to finish off the year. New map, new season, new content for everybody to play for the holidays. So lots to come.
Now we're going to throw over to an interview with Bobby Puff. He is a Twitch streamer that quit his job with his parents' company in order to pursue his dream of streaming. He's featured on the top of the leaderboards for many Call of Duty games, including having the most wins on Blackout. And he's been doing it again on Warzone. He's been killing everybody. And he's been also involved in a lot of high-kill game tournaments. He plays with big names. And yeah, it was really interesting speaking to him on Warzone and streaming. Joining me on this week's Charlie Intel podcast is none other than Twitch streamer Bobby Puff, with some of the greatest facial hair in Twitch streaming history. What is the inspiration behind this fantastic facial hair?
Oh, man. Well, Mike, thank you again for having me on your show. I really appreciate it. But I don't know, just kind of just switching it up. I mean, one thing I've learned with just Twitch streaming, just you kind of just want to, you obviously want to stay relevant and just kind of keep things fresh. And obviously, Dr. D's got the best mustache in the game now. And I mean, I'm not trying to copy him by any means, but I just keeping things new. I mean, I'll shave the mustache, kind of just keep it going for a little bit, just keeping things fresh and just, I don't know, it just gives people to talk about something.
Absolutely. Well, look, this is a Call of Duty podcast, so maybe we should talk a little bit about that.
All right.
Well, Call of Duty is your main game at the moment. What is it about Call of Duty that's so appealing to you?
Just first-person shooters. I just love just shooting games. I mean, I've always enjoyed playing sports outside, but not so much with video games. And just I like playing games where you just can't really do that stuff. So just running around, just playing first-person shooter, it's just so much fun. And most of my time, I'm always just playing with my friends. So it's just so easy just playing with your friends, just Call of Duty. It's always been that way.
Have you been mainly playing Warzone then rather than Cold War? What's kind of been your split?
Yeah, so I try to stick to mainly Battle Royale. Like, obviously, multiplayer was huge. It's been relevant for a long time. But to me, it's just kind of, I hate to say the word stale, but, like, unless you're a professional multiplayer, it's just not really, it's not really best. So Battle Royale, I feel like, especially for being a Twitch streamer, content creator, Battle Royale allows me to just do something a little bit different. And it's very, like I said, refreshing and it's new. So Battle Royale, I've just been sticking with Warzone. I came from Call of Duty Blackout. That's kind of where that's when I started streaming, really. So I mainly try to stick with Battle Royales.
And have you been playing with people like Merc and Maven since the Blackout days then?
Yes. Yeah, that's where I met. Those guys are great. I mean, I met Merc, Maven, TP. I mean, I've learned so much from TP because, I mean, that's where I met all those guys.
Yeah.
Just grinding. We all were gaming Blackout.
The deepest voice in gaming as well.
Maven?
No, Teep.
Oh, Teep. Oh, Teep's got the best. I think he's got a great just commentating voice. I mean, especially just being a pro for a while, then coaching some of the best players. I mean, and now in the content creation, I mean, that guy, Teep, has showed me nothing but love, and I'm forever grateful for that man.
So you said you play Blackout a lot, and obviously now playing Warzone. Which one do you prefer and why?
That's a really tough question. I mean, Blackout gameplay was an amazing game, and that's where I kind of build my fame, I guess you could say, because I grinded. I had the most kills and the most wins in the world on Call of Duty Blackout. That's how I really started my channel.
Yeah.
But Blackout, the tournaments, there was really no tournaments. It wasn't a free-to-play game, so it was very limited on the audience. Whereas Warzone, it's obviously free-to-play. There's been these huge tournaments that just advertise the game, and not only the game, but the creators. So it's really that's a really tough question. I would say that the gameplay in Blackout was probably better, but the overall game of Warzone and is better just because of the free to play and all these tournaments, and it's such a bigger audience than Blackout ever was, unfortunately. But And hopefully they just keep getting better, or Activision keeps getting better at these. I mean, if they keep getting better, I mean, it'll be better for all the players, the company, and I mean, we'll see what the future has in store.
Have you seen like a noticeable increase in like your audience base since playing Warzone? Or I know obviously you played a lot of Blackout, so obviously you had that base come over, but have you seen like an increase otherwise?
Oh yeah, yeah. So some of the main things I've seen my audience grow is especially on tournaments. I was in Keemstar's tournament way back. It was like, I think the fifth week of Keemstar Warzone Wednesday. It was me and Tommy. We played.
Yeah.
After we won that tournament, Keemstar gassed me up on Twitter, and just winning my first major tournament in Warzone, that's when I really started to notice a big influx of new people coming to the channel. So performing well in these tournaments, I mean, not only can you secure the bag, obviously, for the competition, but especially as being a content creator, I mean, I would rather do well in the tournaments just to get more new people to your page. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you playing in these high kill games, I always, as an incredibly average, let's be honest, below average player, I always want to know how people, you know, get away with these high kill games. Now, obviously you can surround yourself with people like Tommy, people like Teep, but what is it for you that makes you a good player in Call of Duty?
Well, I play a lot. I mean, when I start playing a game, I'll be totally honest, I'm really not, I mean, I'm good at the game, but I just the amount of time that I play I'm consumed by games. So I just want to perfect my craft and keep getting better. And I mean, I have the time now that this is my full-time job. I mean, I usually stream anywhere from like 300 to 350 hours a month on average.
Yeah,
and sometimes when the new games come out, like 400 hours in a month. So I just, as soon as the game comes out, I just grind and want to be the best competitor I can possibly be.
What is it about streaming that kind of gets you?
I love video games. I've always had a passion for video games, and then seeing someone like Ninja being able to do it with streaming, that's kind of where I really noticed it. So just being able to play video games, and not as like on a professional side. I mean, I have a huge respect to all the pros that play, but being able to do something on your own and just you have full control of your channel and what you want to do. That's just been just the most appealing thing to me.
What kind of changes would you like to see to Warzone and included with the integration?
That's a good question. I think they've done a great job so far, but I just think they need to just keep coming out with like, I hope there's more like holiday events, like kind of what Fortnite has done. I mean, Fortnite has honestly paved the way for battle royales, and just a lot of these creators have just come to fame from Fortnite. So, I mean, it's not like they need to copy Fortnite, but they just need to do, I think they need to do a better job of just more consistent, like updates, maybe more game events to just help just get like a big influx of viewers like during a short period of time during these events. And then I hate to bring this up also, but like there's been, I mean, the hacking in Warzone has kind of been, I hate to talk about it, but I mean there's waves where you won't see a hacker for a couple of weeks, but then there's waves where you run into 10 to 12 hackers a day. And
yeah,
I mean, you see how much money this company makes. It's like, why can't they just invest a little of this money that they've earned into just making just everyone more happy? So I mean,
yeah,
between that and then maybe like meta changes, there's been a couple metas so far in Warzone right now that they just take so long to change, like with R9 especially right now. Like they've known this has been an issue for months, and it's like I wish they'd be more quick to like change some of those things.
So we talked a little bit about Cold War. What I assume you played some of the multiplayer. What did you make of it compared to previous CODs?
Okay, so for me personally, I love Treyarch. I love when Treyarch makes a Call of Duty. So I really enjoyed playing Cold War. I think when Cold War came out, I played it literally for 32 hours straight. And I haven't really touched it since. But I really enjoy when Treyarch makes games. I feel like I've personally enjoyed Treyarch more than Infinity Wards, but I mean, what Warzone has still done has been amazing, but just, I would prefer more than Treyarch. So just having a Treyarch game, just like the movement, the gunfights, I really did enjoy those. But it's kind of hard though, especially when now this is my job and content creation. Like I said before, unless you're a professional, it's really hard to play multiplayer and get people to watch you. So there was a lot of hype the first day. That's why I just grinded really hard all day. It was a great stream. But just moving forward, just right after the first day or two, there just wasn't much hype for just someone that plays for content creation with no professional background.
What was the your job that you gave up before to pursue streaming?
I actually worked for a family business. I worked at my father's chemical manufacturing company. It was a great business. My dad and my grandpa started it back in 1976, so it's been around for a long time. So my dad wanted me to ideally take over his company. So I worked there for 5 years learning. I started in the back, just capping bottles, making boxes. And I started up in the office, answering the phone calls, taking orders. And then eventually I knew enough in the office to where I'd start going on sales trips and making, trying to get new customers and all that stuff. But the more I got into it, the more stressful it became. And just thinking long-term, I just didn't know if that's truly what I wanted to do for the rest of my life, to be happy. And I mean, I've always known that I've had a competitive edge in video games. So I just, especially right after Fortnite, I knew the Call of Duty Battle Royale was coming out. I just kind of told my dad, I was like, Dad, I'm going to, actually, I got into a fight and just left with him, right? Because I knew that this game, I knew that Blackout was coming out. It's like a week
before. That was the best way.
Yeah, a week before Blackout came out, I just got into an argument and honestly, I just left and I just never came back. I hate to say it. I mean, it was really sad. And I mean, I love my parents because they've given me absolutely everything. But I mean, on this one, I mean, my parents, they fully support me now, but for like 2 or 3 months when I had nothing to show for it, there was just a bunch of question marks from them.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it's a lesson for kids at home. Sometimes you got to sacrifice things, but you know, if you're really into it, you'll get through it.
100%. I sacrificed so much. I mean, I was in a great relationship. I mean, I broke up with my girlfriend at the time. I mean, like I said, I had to do something to get my foot in the door and just grinding. Yeah. I knew I could do it since I've done it in previous games. Like, I don't know if I mentioned, but in Modern Warfare 3, I was like number 6 in the world for search and destroy for score. So I've just always had the grind. And this was while I was in college. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just play this game for 16 hours every single day, grind the leaderboards. And sure enough, just the higher I climbed on the leaderboards, the more people started watching me, and just one thing led to another. And then I started playing with guys like Merc, Maven, and Teep. And then that's just really when the rest is just history.
I think you obviously have the work ethic that is required for someone to be a successful streamer. I think if you look at most successful streamers, they're absolutely fanatical about streaming. And I guess that's kind of like, I think where a lot of people fall down is where they don't actually put in those hours and they quit when they've got 3 viewers.
Exactly. I mean, I kept going. I mean, I knew I had it in me, and I just going to stick with it, keep going. And I mean, and it's really hard because right now so many people want to do this. And I mean, people don't realize, I mean, there's millions of other kids that are similar to you that want to do this. So you got to work harder. You got to work smarter. You got to do something that no one else is doing. And my thing was just doing something else. No one else had the most kills, or no one else had more kills or wins than me. And that's kind of just how it works.
So we're going to end the interview on a few quick questions. Now, while it is quick questions, please feel free to give like a quick explanation of why too. So I know you avoided the question earlier, but if you had to choose, who's the best skilled Warzone player in the world?
Best skilled Warzone. Man, that's a tough question. I would just say Huskers. I mean, he's earned the most money. And I mean, there's so many people on the list, but Huskers, I would say Huskers.
Favorite Call of Duty based streamer?
Favorite Call of Duty based streamer, TP.
Blackout or Warzone? You have to choose.
Oh, that is so tough. Blackout.
Oh, one for the purists.
I hate to say it.
Favorite landing point in Warzone?
Superstore.
Worst place on the entire map?
Anywhere on the edge of the map with rocks and you can't get up.
If you could import any map from any Call of Duty, and it can't be a Blackout map, but like a specific map, what would it be, and where on the map would you replace?
For some reason, I've always really liked Wasteland for Modern Warfare 2. I know it's really open, but I don't know, just put Wasteland on the bottom of the map, or just put it on the outside of the map somewhere. I mean, there's always just a bunch of open fields around there anyway. Just throw Wasteland back in there maybe.
And what is your current setup, favorite setup in Warzone? So guns.
Oh man. Well, if I'm in is it like a tournament or just for fun?
Just whatever you want.
Okay. Well, if I'm in a tournament, I hate to say, I'm going to use a Kilo R9 Dragon's Breath. Just if there's money on the line, you have to.
Yeah, of course.
But if it's just for fun, I would use a Car AS Vol. I've been having a lot of fun use those just for fun games.
Awesome. And final question, we ask this to everyone. Favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich? Yeah. I've been going... do you have Jersey Mike's where you are?
We don't, but I've been to it before.
I usually just get like an Italian sandwich with extra meat and throw some bacon on there.
Nice. All right. Well, Bobby, thanks for taking the time out. Where can people find you? Where are your socials?
You can find me on twitch.tv/BobbyPoffGaming. I've known for streaming for a long hour. So in the late night grinds, early morning, if you need a place to hang out, twitch.tv/BobbyPoffGaming.
Awesome. Thanks. So getting into a little bit of esports news, there's been a couple of big developments. The first one is the Call of Duty World Championship 2020 finals have been cancelled. So it was a $1 million tournament. It was expected to be played in a big event, but unfortunately it's actually been cancelled. And basically every tournament that had already taken place regionally for the qualifiers, that's where the prizes have been distributed to. So look, this news comes as no real surprise, but the official Player COD Mobile account tweeted this out. We've had to make a difficult decision, but we are putting the health and well-being of our players first regarding the Call of Duty Mobile Championship. Out of abundance of caution, the Stage 5 Grand Finals for the 2020 World Championships will not take place. Usual excuse. Makes sense. COVID-19 happening. We were never going to see this on LAN. And this kind of has been the story of esports over the year. The only real big competition that kind of really played it out was the LoL World Finals. And they did a bubble in China and there was all these safety precautions. But, you know, for the COD World Championship on mobile, which is a new tournament in itself, it didn't really make sense for them to have to go through that all expense, the millions of dollars of expense to create a bubble for a tournament that is kind of new. So that you can't, and obviously you can't play like Asia to America and Europe in a competition. So I think COD Mobile esports is probably like, it's got a huge future. And I think in 2021, hopefully we'll start seeing events. We'll be out there covering them. But yeah, really interesting, the COD Mobile space, but kind of expected news, despite people in the chat saying, people in the replies claiming that, you know, they're very shocked. It's not a shock at all, really. So the CDL obviously was impacted across the year, just like the COD Mobile World Championship. But one aspect that people are very concerned about is cheating accusations. So the tournament started for the challengers section, which is like the, I guess, the amateur section of the Call of Duty Pro League, or the Call of Duty League, as it's actually called, not Pro League. And basically, a number of pros came out and were concerned about footage of a number of players basically looking like they were cheating. So they just kind of knew exactly where people were, and they switched to PC, especially when it comes to an unknown player. People are like, this seems a little bit fishy. So this concern around hackers is not a new one. In fact, a clip we're going to show you now from 2 months ago, Scump actually talked about it.
Plus, CDL is going to PC, so it's a step up. Yeah, definitely a step in the right direction. Better frames. I mean, the one thing that could go wrong is the hackers. I mean, if there's hackers, like, I mean, any kind of competitive playlist is chalked. You know, that's definitely something to worry about. That is going to be very annoying if hackers just run rampant in all the, like, ranked play whatever playlists. I mean, it's chalked. It's literally just chalked. Like, if there's hackers, it's chalked.
Yeah, so, I mean, as Scump has said, you know, the cheating problems, it's challengers, especially with PC shift, is problematic. You know, we saw this past weekend, as you mentioned, that there are people complaining about, you know, how the aims are looking, how people know where they are in different locations. So I think that's a big problem to look at. You know, Treyarch, Activision, and the teams have not announced anything in terms of what their anti-cheat systems are in the game. You know, that's a stance that they have taken, and that they're just saying that they have a detection software, police report players, and that's it, but they're not telling anybody anything specific about it. So, you know, it's just turned into this weird thing about hoping and seeing that something turns positive out of this whole mess, right? I mean, this year we've seen them try to ban players, you know, almost misban or false ban some players. A lot of players complaining that they were banned for doing absolutely nothing. So it's been a weird year for them in terms of cheaters. And with crossplay and PC, I think this was the year they had to step up with that. And I don't think they've fully stepped up yet and taken responsibility for sort of the mess that's happened. But I think there's still room for them to do it. I think, you know, one thing I will say is that cheating and anti-cheat software is something that they really don't like to talk about publicly, because the more you give information out, the easier it is to beat it. So I don't think we'll ever see like a proper statement about what the anti-cheat software will do. But I think they are most certainly working on stuff behind the scenes to make it happen. When that fully rolls out is up in the air.
Yeah, it's a worrying state, because equally you don't want someone who's like playing really well to be accused of hacking, you know, and that potentially ruins their career. And how can they prove it? You know, there's no LAN events at the moment, so hopefully we'll see something from Activision where, you know, we see these people stamped out, but I'm not holding my breath. Okay, so a new section of the show to round it out, we have called the Gulag. It's going to be 1v1, me versus Keshav. Whoever's opinion wins, wins. We're not exactly sure how it's going to be scored. Maybe people at home can decide. But we're going to talk a bit about Call of Duty reusing maps time and time again. So this comes off the back of the announcement that for Cold War, Raid will be released as part of Season 1 update. Now, Raid has come back once again. It's probably going to be very similar, the layout, the way it works. It must have been involved in about 5 or 6 games. So Keshav, you can start and you can tell me why Raid belongs there, and that actually this isn't just being Treyarch being lazy and not developing another map.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, returning maps has been a thing in Call of Duty for quite some time now, right? We've seen in DLC seasons, they bring back fan favorite maps that they think that, you know, fans love. Black Ops 4 even brought maps back at launch from previous games. You know, I think specifically in terms of Raid and some of these maps, bringing them back is key because it brings a nostalgic feeling for players. You know, for so long we've had, you know, Black Ops 2 as hailed as the best game of all time from Call of Duty world. And Raid is that map that I think players love. I mean, our tweet about Raid coming back went viral. You know, FaZe Clan interacted with it. FaZe even posted our tweet to their Instagram and people went crazy for it. People just love these old classic Call of Duty maps. And, you know, the argument that I always see is about, as you said there, you know, it's lazy development. But in reality, I mean, like, they have to bring this map that was on Xbox 360, PS3, and redo the entire graphics engine, bring the whole map back, you know, make the graphics better, make it work with the new game. It takes a lot of work. You know, map development does take a long time for them. You know, sometimes a brand new map can take months to go from start to finish. And in some cases, it might be a little bit easier, you know, instead of, you know, 3-4 months for a brand new map, maybe 2 months for a returning map that players will love, even though they might consider it lazy. Hey, you know, you have that extra 2 months to work on and develop another feature for the game. So, you know, returning maps, I think, are a staple for Call of Duty. It just has to be well-balanced in terms of how many you do.
So what I'd counter to that is, fair enough if they'd released a whole load of other maps and also Raid at the same time. But what's actually happened is they've released 8 maps. I think only 6 of them are really viable for most of the competitive modes. They've then brought out Nuketown, again, a very limited map. And then the next map they're bringing out, which they're kind of like saying, oh, it's this free map, you'll get it, is going to be another map that we've seen from the past. There's nothing new there. There's no creativity. I don't think it's just kind of using old content time and time again. And you can kind of get a bit of a sense that it's like, this isn't really what we want. Like, you want to see new maps. You want to see, you know, take, for example, the mechanics of Raid, work out why it's a good map, and then implement that into a new one. You know, fine, bring Raid back. It's a great map, but bring another map too. Like, where you can't just bring Raid. I think that's, for me, that's just not acceptable. And yes, games are getting more technical and things are getting more advanced, and I completely understand that side of it. And yes, there has been COVID-19, so that is probably a massive element to it. So you can't take that away from them. But at the same time, they've put a lot of effort, as you said, into bringing Raid back. Why not put that effort into a new map? Why not put that effort into releasing more than just 8 maps when the game launched? For me, that would make a massive difference. That would make me more inclined to play Cold War if I know I didn't have to play Cartel every time.
Yeah, I mean, the launch maps number was pretty, you know, disappointing. 8 maps is really low. You know, we used to have Modern Warfare 2, 16 maps on day one and all this stuff, and now we're at half of that. But I think it's also interesting, right? You know, when you talk about make a new map like Raid instead of making Raid itself, one of the things you've seen with Modern Warfare and Black Ops Cold War is how many fans dislike the new direction these maps are going in, right? I mean, people call, you know, Treyarch the staple with 3-lane maps, and then in Black Ops Cold War, there's like 2 maps that people like, you know, Crossroads Strikes, I think, is a fan favorite, Nuketown and stuff like that. And so, you know, I think in many ways, it's like a risk of, do you make a brand new map that people will hate, or do you bring back a map you know people will love? And that balance, that and how that balance works, I think, is something that the developers themselves have faced over the years, right? Because in Modern Warfare, we saw how many people, you know, absolutely hated the entire launch slate of maps. Then we saw in Season 1, the season one last year of Modern Warfare, all the maps that came back were remakes from previous Modern Warfare games. And people were happy with that. You know, it was good maps, fan favorite maps coming back. And so I think Treyarch's trying to do that same thing here where, okay, yeah, we had less maps in here, but here, like, take this free map that's, you know, a remaster. It's free. That's the biggest thing. I know people complain saying, oh, like, it should have been available on day one, or more maps should have been there on day one. Look, Activision would not hesitate if this was 3 years ago to put Raid in a DLC pack and make you pay $15 for it, right? They're giving it to us for free now. And at the end of the day, I think, yeah, they could make new maps too, but if you're going to give me classic throwback maps and you're going to give it to me for free, you know, is anything objected? I guess I would say that there is a good point in that we need to make sure that Raid's not the only map that comes with the season, right? There should be multiple maps. But hey, if Raid's free, I'll take it, because Raid, you know, Raid 24/7 playlist would be a playlist I'll play all the time.
Okay, well, I mean, clear winner there, Keshav. I don't know if I can really respond to that. I've clearly been beaten. I've had the throw knife in the gulag, and he's had the minigun, and that's pretty much been it. So congratulations, Keshav. You win the gulag this time. Okay, so that is the end of the Charlie Intel show. We want to hear your feedback. We want to hear what you want changed in the show, what we want added, and obviously which guests you'd like to see on each week. Please send us tweets at Sir Mike, at Keshav Bat, or at the Charlie Intel account. The DMs are open too. And of course, next week we'll be back with that bumper episode, which will be discussing all of the huge changes in season one. We can't wait. Look forward to seeing you then.